Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
So David HaMelech now continues. And he says, Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem. Pasuk Dalet, chapter 27, verse 4. I have only one request from Hashem, he says. Oysa Avakesh. That's really what I seek. Shifti Beves Hashem Kol Yimechayai. I should rest or reside in Hashem's house all the days of my life. Lachzeis Benoyim Hashem. To be able to behold the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulevake Behecholei. Which could mean to seek or to search or even to visit in his Heichal, in his sanctuary. What's going on over here? What does this mean? Achas Sha'alti. I only have one request. David HaMelech seems to name a number of requests. That's the first obvious question. So in order to understand that, we first have to know what the different requests are. And then we're going to take a look and see how it fits to the concept of Achas Sha'alti. David HaMelech asks, Shivti Beveis Hashem, that I should be in the house of Hashem. I should behold His pleasantness. A moment ago, we're talking about David HaMelech surrounded by his enemies. We're talking about the fact that David HaMelech wants to be victorious. He has many challenges. And he trusts in Hashem, and everything is going to be fine in the end. And Tokom Lai Melchama, if they will camp against him, if they will declare war against him. So B'zeis HaNiveteach, I'm certain that Hashem is going to take care of things. And suddenly, where David HaMelech is talking about wars and battles and challenges and issues, he suddenly changes gears. And now David HaMelech starts talking about Achas Sha'alti, the one thing that he asked of Hashem. How do we make the transition from the first three verses of this chapter of Tillim, which speak about David HaMelech's bitachon in Hashem, speak about his trust in Hashem, speak about David HaMelech's absolute faith that everything works out? How do we make this transition into David HaMelech's request, and what actually is he requesting? So the Ibn Ezra says something very interesting. He says it seems very clear that this particular mizmor, even though it's number 27, the mizmorim of Tillim are not chronological and not in the order of the being formulated, that this is something that David HaMelech composed towards the end of his life. After his soldiers had taken an oath that they would no longer allow David HaMelech to get mixed into battle, that they would keep all of this away from David HaMelech. They would do the job, and he would remain behind. So at that point, when David HaMelech is no longer involved in wars, David HaMelech suddenly articulates this request, Achas Sha'alti, that what I really want now is to be in the house of Hashem. The Radak says that it's true that David HaMelech was a warrior, and it's true that he had affairs of state that he had to deal with. And there were many different difficult challenges that David HaMelech had to contend with, both within his family, within the fledgling Jewish people, and the country of Eretz Yisrael. But what David HaMelech is really telling you is that who is David HaMelech really? Where is his essence? Where does his heart lie? A lot of people talk about retirement. But when they retire, they're very unhappy. Because they say, I just want peace and quiet. And then they get too much peace and quiet. And people who like to work or like to accomplish, when they're not working and they're not accomplishing, they're not happy. A person who is essentially a warrior, and there are people like that. So that's when they're functioning best. That's when they feel good. That's when they feel they're making a contribution. And when they stop doing things like that, they get very despondent. They feel they're not able to live fully. So who was David HaMelech? Is he the warrior? Is he the person who deals with affairs of state? Is he the mighty king? Or is David HaMelech at his core a sensitive spiritual soul of an exalted stature who seeks communion and oneness with Hashem? So this chapter of Tillim is telling us that David HaMelech, the David HaMelech that we know about historically, the David HaMelech who dealt with all this range of challenges, as Ibn Ezra says, towards the end of his life, when he didn't have to be involved in these things as much, he was very, very glad to put that aside. He didn't long for the battlefield. He didn't yearn for valor and for being able to accomplish. He did those things because they were necessary. Who really is David HaMelech? What does David HaMelech really want? Achas Shaalti. Really, he wants just one thing. And that is, Shivti Beveis Hashem. He wants to be in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Radak says, that even though David HaMelech had all of these issues, Chol Cheshkoi, Shiyugufei V'libei Pani L'Sheves Beveis Hashem. The deep desire that he wanted, what he really, really asked for, what he really yearned for, was to have that inner peace and tranquility, to have that spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mitzvot David says that Shifti, the word Shifti means She'eshev Beis Hashem, that I should sit in the house of Hashem, that's what I should enjoy. Lachzeis means Lires B'ne'imas Teiris Hashem. I should be able to appreciate the pleasantness, the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Teirah. The Ibn Ezra talks about Seideis Maisa HaBeira, the mysteries, the secrets of Hashem's actions, which perhaps is not that different from the Mitzvot David. It's the same point. The David HaMelech wants to know God rather than be involved in all the other things. In other words, there are things we do in life. And the question is, are they an end unto themselves or are they a means to an end? There are many people who define themselves by their careers. Many people who define themselves by their accomplishments. And the fact that they work hard to make a living or to do whatever it may be, ultimately, is more than just a means to an end. It becomes a means within itself. David HaMelech conveys to us that his career, if you will, was a means to an end, and that the end for David HaMelech was Shivti Beveis Hashem. So why is that relevant for us? That's very nice. It's beautiful to know that David HaMelech was a person who wanted only to be in the house of Hashem. Why is that something we should be reciting during the month of Elul? Why is that something that has become part of the book of Tehillim that you and I are supposed to find our own personal spiritual expression within? So in order to appreciate this, we're going to take a look at a Medrash. A Medrash is found in the Medrash of Sheikh HaTev. It's also found in the Yalkut Shumayi. Amar LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, God said to David, B'tchila ata oimer achas sha'alti. First you said, I just want one thing. And then, achakach ata shol kama she'elot. You ask for a whole bunch of things. Shivti beveis Hashem. I want to sit in the house of Hashem. Lachzas b'noyim Hashem. Levake be'choli. So David HaMelech responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Mimchola madati. I learned from you. I learned from you because when you came to the Jewish people and said to them, here's what I really want from you. It says, Mo Hashem Alekecha Shel Mayimach. This comes through the persona, the voice of Moshe. What does Hashem ask of you? Ki'im Le'yira. Have a little bit of reverence, that's all. V'acharkach poscho lehem mitzvahs harbe. Then you begin with all kinds of mitzvahs. So lechas b'chol drachov, you should walk in all of his ways. La'ava, you say, you should love him. So David HaMelech says to God, you're complaining to me, you don't like my verbiage. Well, your verbiage is any better. That's the Medrash. Now, the Medrash is a very strange Medrash because Hashem asked David HaMelech, he asked for one thing, he asked for three things. And the answer is, no, m'chol amati. You start asking for one thing and then you take a finger and then a hand and whatever else you could. So the Maggid of Mezitch explains that really deep down, everything that David HaMelech asked for, it all goes back to one thing. It all boils down to one essence, as we were saying. You know, the Malbim says, why does it say, Achas Sha'alti? There's one thing that I ask for. Eisa Avakish. There's one thing that I seek. He says that a She'ela is a request that you make. A Bakasha is the desire, the wish that's in your heart. So there's a She'ela and Bakasha. One is external and one is internal. Like it says with Esther Hamalka, She'ela si u'bakasha si. My request, my ask, but also my mevukash, Bakasha comes from avukash, what I really seek, what I'm really looking for. Because sometimes people ask for one thing, but they really want something else. Sometimes we ourselves don't even know that what we're asking for is not the thing that we really want. So David HaMelech is telling us, She'elasi u'bakashasi. As we said, in the name of Radak and Ibn Ezra, who is the real David HaMelech? As they say, will the real King David please rise? Who is he? And the answer is that the real King David, the real David HaMelech, inside, on the outside, David HaMelech is achas sha'alti, that he seeks but one thing. And everything else comes from that, organically. Everything else stems from that one thing. But that one thing becomes a representation of the real desire of David HaMelech, which is oneness with Hashem. So the Rebbe spoke about this a number of different times. And a common theme in the Rebbe's explanation is, it does seem a little bit strange, to borrow a term, almost like chutzpah. Hashem says to David, you know, you ask for one thing or five things. And what does David HaMelech say? I learn from you. You play the same game. You ask for one thing, you don't want five things. Okay, so it's one thing that many things come from. So what? So the Rebbe says, what Chassidus is really explaining to us is that David HaMelech said, I learned from the way you made a request of the Jewish people that all of the different levels, all the different ideas, all the different issues really do boil down to one thing. What does Hashem really want from you? What does He really seek from you? And the answer is, Ki'im li'yira. He seeks your absolute, utter devotion. He seeks your reverence. He seeks your awe. And if you'll be reverential towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you live with a sense of awe towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything falls into place. Then it all works out. So then you have the concept of the La'ahava, you say, to love Him. Lechas b'chol drachav, to walk in all His ways. So David HaMelech said, from this I understood, we are created the image of God. From this I understood that really everything could be boiled down to one essence. So David HaMelech said, that's what I did. I went deep into myself. Oysa avakesh, what am I really seeking? And I came to the realization that what I'm really seeking is oneness with Hashem. So now that I know that I seek this oneness with Hashem, then that's my request. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm thinking about in my heart, and I understand that that has many details. In other words, it's reasonable to say that most of us cannot boil life down into one sentence or one phrase or one essence. We want a lot of things. We want, you know, we want to be happy, we want to be content, we want to feel as if we're making an accomplishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us of different mitzvahs, as the expression goes in the Medrash, Eimek Roim and Eimek Tachas, which means the greatest of heights, the depth of heights, and on the lowest level. On one hand, Judaism talks about theology, and talks about faith, and talks about philosophy, and talks about the loftiest concepts. On the other hand, Judaism talks about very ordinary things. And it's even possible for people to separate the two. Person could say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand all this depth. I know it feels good to be nice to other people. That's how I want to live my life. I want to be a good person. So be a good person and don't bother me and don't tell me all this other stuff, because at the end of the day, it's too profound for me. Or another person who he excels in profundity. He enjoys profundity. It inspires him. How much does he do? He's not so much of a doer. He's a person who lives in a higher realm. And what God wants us to know is, the truth is that Eimek Reim and Eimek Tachas are not mutually exclusive. That at the end of the day, it's all really one. Why is it important to have all those lofty ideas? And why is it important to do all those things? Not two details. It's one essence. Because deep down, we were created in order to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David HaMelech is tapping into a very, very profound and deep message that he understood through the request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tzemach Tzedek, he says this is connected to a part of the Neshama which is called Yechida. So there are different layers. You know, like those babushka dolls. Open up one layer, there's another little babushka, another one afterwards. How much they peel away different layers. As David HaMelech said, as Shlomo HaMelech said in his wisdom, He metaphorized the wisdom of Torah as golden apples that are wrapped in filigree of silver. So the filigree of silver is very beautiful, and you pull away the filigree, and then you reveal the golden apple. When I was living in Russia, so I think Yeltsin was the president then. So they had a big babushka with a Yeltsin doll, and you open up Yeltsin, inside was Gorbachev. They opened up Gorbachev, inside was Brezhnev. You keep opening, I think, until you ended up with Lenin inside. And the message was all the same. That's how people looked at it. Here's the thing. If David HaMelech was able to tap into a part of his neshama called Yechida, that's great for David HaMelech, that there's a core essence of the neshama which is so amazingly connected to Hashem, that regardless of where a person goes and what a person's involvement is and what their consciousness is, deep down, there's the core essence that always remains alive. We call it the Pintaliyid. So if David HaMelech is able to reach and uncover his core essence, there's also a message for every one of us. And the message is that underneath the facade, there is a Pintaliyid, a core essence of extraordinary spirituality and closeness to Hashem. And even if we're not going to be able to experience this on a daily basis, and even if it's not going to become the currency of our lives, the very knowledge that, after all, what we really seek is oneness with Hashem, it helps us not to sweat the small stuff. It helps us to have an elevated perspective. Because it's not about this detail, or that detail, or the other detail. Sometimes certain details don't work the way we're supposed to, or the way we think they were supposed to, and we get frustrated. But when we remember that in the end, achas sha'alti, how does it fit into my achas sha'alti picture? How do I put it against my backdrop of what do I really seek out of life? And if what I really seek out of life is going to be served by whatever I'm doing now, then I should be involved in it. And if obsessing over this, or if getting stuck on something, takes away from the bigger picture, it doesn't allow me to have the achas sha'alti, it doesn't allow me to understand that ultimately, what I seek is closeness, communion, oneness with Hashem, and I have to leave that behind. So that's a basic message over here. David HaMelech tells it to us because it's something that we should be aware of. The Al-Sheikh says that what David HaMelech really wanted was to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the idea of Achas Sha'alti Beis Hashem, Shivti Beveis Hashem. What's Beis Hashem? Beis Hashem is a Beis HaMikdash to actualize the Shekhinah. To experience a true oneness, David HaMelech did not merit to be able to do this. And that's why he says, Shivti Beveis Hashem. Because the Al-Sheikh tells us, the Gemara relates, that only Malchi Beis David are allowed to sit in the house of Hashem. Even if there's another Melech for the Jewish people, they cannot sit in the Azura. Cannot sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. But David HaMelech knew that this, the halacha is, Malchi Beis David could sit there. And therefore he asks, Shivti Beveis Hashem. I should be able to sit in the house of Hashem. In other words, if the Beis HaMikdash is built, I'll be able to sit there. In our own lives, there's a small Beis HaMikdash. There's making a place, a space within our own life, within our own existence, that a place where Hashem's presence is. That has to be our goal. That has to be our mission. And keeping that in mind, it assists us. It makes life that much more easy and that much more simple when we're able to get past the many details. The Chidah brings in the name of the Arizal that Achas is actually a Rashi Tevis. It's an abbreviation. For Eretz Yisrael, for Chaye Elum Haba, and for Torah. And the Arizal says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai tells us in the beginning of Maseches Brachos that there are three things which you will not acquire without Yisurim. There's a price tag. It's going to be difficult. We know, unfortunately, how the price tag of living in Eretz Yisrael, of having Eretz Yisrael. It's not cheap. It's not easy. The world is not going to allow us to say, oh, you want to go to Israel? Why'd you say so? Kegesun Tereit, go, enjoy. It's not going to happen that way. Chai Olam Haba, there's no silver bullet, a quick fix. Olam Haba is the result of a life lived well. And a life lived well is filled with challenges. That's the way it is. And finally, Torah doesn't fall into your head by accident. You can't scan things into your brain. You can't email them into your brain. You have to toil on Torah. And each and every one has to toil in accordance with their level. So these are things which usually come only through Yisurim, which come through what we're going to call a sense of inner anguish, a sense of sacrifice, a sense of paying the price. And the message for us is that David HaMelech understands that in order to have the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life, he's going to have to pay for it. Achas Shalti is not a cop-out. Achas Shalti is not saying, oh, you know what I just want to do? I just want to sit back and relax. I just want to take it easy. And everybody would say that. Why should I have to work? Why should I get involved in the bitter world outside? David HaMelech basically is saying, I want to retire. Like Ibn Ezra says, you got old enough. His army said, you made your contribution. You put in your time. Now, take it easy. Sit back, relax. Achas Shalti. Have an easygoing life. And the Arizal is telling us that's not the case. Chas v'shalom. David HaMelech understands there's a price tag to pay, and he's ready to serve Hashem with Mesiras Nefesh. But what he ultimately wants is to serve Hashem. That's the message. And that's the idea that each and every one of us has to learn from. Tver HaShlema says, if you know what you want out of life, if you're focused on the Achas Sha'alti, even though you have many other requests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will end up granting that request. When you knew that really the different things you're asking for is really only one. They explain also, he explains, that really a person is only supposed to ask for one thing. You don't ask for many things. Why does David HaMelech ask for many things? He asks for many things because they're all his stifus. They're all stemming from that same one thing. On Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, we ask for many things. What are we really asking for, though? What we should be asking for is Lachzus B'nayim Hashem. What we should be asking for is to feel a sense of closeness to God. That my life has a mission. That my life has a purpose. And when I live with that knowledge, and I know that it is so then it makes, A, whatever I have to deal with easier. But then, of course, so when I have parnasa, and I need to have health, I need to have tranquility, there's lots of things that can impede the way of fulfilling this notion of Lachzus B'nayim Hashem. As the Maggid of Mizritch once said, Aklein Alech L'nguf, a small orifice, a small hole, an unnatural gouge in the body, makes a big hole that injures the neshama. If a person is not able to serve Hashem because he doesn't have the wherewithal, because he's too busy taking care of health or stress or other things, so then you lose the opportunity, Chas v'Shalom, to serve Hashem. But what's it all about? What's the means and what's the end? In the Sefer Chaim v'Hashalom that was written by the Ben Ishchai, he says that Achas is actually, in the gematria of the word Eliyahu and Mashiach. And therefore, he suggests, what really, when is the essence of life going to be fulfilled fully? What should he really seek then? Mashiach. A lot of people think that Mashiach means my specific problems will be solved. So when things are bad, they ask for Mashiach. Person doesn't have health, say, oh, Mashiach should come ready. Person lose a loved one, say, oh, I can't go on anymore. Mashiach has to come ready. A person needs parnasa, say, oh, I need Mashiach already. But the truth is, none of them is really asking for Mashiach. This one wants to win the lottery. This one just wants life, circumstance of life to be different. And this one just wants to be healthy. It's not asking for Mashiach. What is Mashiach? Mashiach means that the presence of Hashem is obvious and overt. It's attributed to the Alter Rebbe Avot. He said that the Mashiach that everybody asks for is never coming. The Mashiach that is coming, nobody's asking for. When we ask for Mashiach, after what we're asking for. If it's Achas Sha'alti, if it's oneness with Hashem, so then all the things that stimulate and help us ask for Mashiach, that's all fine and good. Yes, there'll be parnasa. Yes, there'll be health. Yes, there'll be tranquility. Yes, there'll be satisfaction. There'll be all of those things. But what we're really asking for is Gilui Elokus, because once there's Gilui Elokus, once the world's a place where God's presence is revealed, so that everything else is going to fall into place. That's where we have to start from the Achas. I'll give you a simple metaphor. If a soldier goes to battle, and the only thing he hopes is that the next bullet he shoots hits the target, or that the next danger around the corner, he should be saved from. But he has no idea of a bigger picture of victory. He doesn't know what he's fighting for. He doesn't know who he's fighting for. He doesn't care if the country wins or loses. All he wants is just to stay alive for the next 5 minutes. Will he be an effective soldier? Of course not. He has no morale. He has no motivation. He has to be not only concerned with the next bullet or the next 5 minutes, he has to be concerned ultimately with winning the war, protecting the country, being able to shield his family. He has to have a bigger picture. And so it is, you didn't go through life sometimes, we're so busy doing A, B, C, D, dealing with details, that we forget why we're even dealing with those details. Sometimes people are so busy being frum and religious, they forgot about Hashem altogether. Just so busy doing, going through their checklist. And therefore, David HaMelech reminds us, Achas Shaalti. He says, you should know all those things I was involved with. It was all about one thing. And that's the meaning of Chodesh Elul. That's the meaning of preparing yourself for Rosh Hashanah. That's why we recite this chapter of Tehillim. Because what we really have to do is peel away the details. And we have to boil life down to its essence. And that's why David HaMelech begins with Achas Shaalti. He explains things later. He goes into details later. But he says, in order for you to be able to ask right, in order for you to be able to live your life right, it has to begin, your point of departure, your ultimate desire has to be Achas Shaalti Me'es Hashem. For me, life is really about one and one thing only. And everything else then falls into place. You had a question. Okay, so two things. What will happen exactly when Mashiach comes, exactly what will happen, nobody really knows. The Rambam himself says that the Dvarim is torn. Here's what we do know. When Mashiach will come, there will be peace in the world. When Mashiach will come, there will be perfect tranquility. The normative movers and shakers, or things that stimulate activity, like jealousy and competition, lack of whatever it may be that stimulates or necessitates aggression to be able to accomplish it. As they say, the mother of invention is necessity. All of those things are going to cease. So the pain and anguish, the difficulty, the challenge of life is going to fade away. And we can be absolutely certain that when Mashiach will come, life will be infinitely better than life is today. To the point that we can't even imagine how wonderful things will be. And the most important thing is that we'll know Hashem. Each and every one of us will know Hashem. The concealment that has become part of the common human experience since Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge, or since the Jewish people built the golden calf, all of that's going to disappear forever. That's what you have to know. And if Chad Churuv, if it says that after 6,000 years our world ceases to exist as it exists in the present term, it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom destruction or evil or death. It means reality is elevated, is exalted to a new level. And really and truly, why we should want Mashiach is to be close to Hashem. The Rambam says this. He says, what do the prophets yearn for? To be Yudin Uber Alas? To have a Khalifite? To control the whole world? To be number one? Chas V'Shalom. Maybe that's what other civilizations look for, other faith systems. What do the prophets really want? To know Hashem. And there are all kinds of things that get in the way of knowing Hashem. And when Mashiach will come, we will know Hashem intimately. And all of the symptoms that come with the realities of today will dissipate. And they won't be necessary anymore. And it will be a wonderful thing. But again, if we don't know what we want, why we're asking for Mashiach, we don't know what we want, so then, first of all, how are we going to ask properly? How will we be able to appreciate it? Your question is, it underscores the essence of why there's so much confusion, why people aren't really asking for Mashiach, either because when they say it more than 70 times a day in their davening, they're not thinking about what they're saying. What, do I have to think about what I'm doing also? I'm just saying the words. Isn't that good enough? Well, no, actually, we're davening supposed to think about what you're saying. So we're actually asking for Mashiach. We're asking for Geula. And so it is also in the High Holiday Prayers. We do a lot of asking for the coming of Mashiach and for a perfect world to be established. And in order to properly want Mashiach, we have to have a sense of what Yiddishkeit is really all about. And we have to have a sense of what life's really all about. Which brings us back to Achas Shaalti. So when a person learns Torah and finds out what the perspective, the Torah perspective on the world is, and you have a sense and a deeper understanding of what everything, all of existence is all about, and how I fit into that, so then with the change of perspective comes the change of desire, and what we seek is elevated and rarefied. Okay? Now, in the request, which, by the way, dovetails perfectly into what the Al-Sheikh says, that what David HaMelech really wanted to do is build a Beis HaMikdash, only he didn't want to build the Beis HaMikdash that would be destroyed. David HaMelech ultimately prayed and hoped for the eternal Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech also, he says, Lachzez B'nei Hashem, and then he talks about Levaker B'Hecholi. So we didn't talk about this really. I'm going to focus on the idea of Levaker. Most people translate, or perhaps they mistranslate, Levaker as to visit. Why do they do that? Because in modern Hebrew, that's how you say a visit. And people think that the same is true also of biblical Hebrew, because visiting the sick is called Bikur Cholim. Well, let's take a look and see what the Mefarshim say on this word, and maybe Bikur Cholim isn't what you think it is. Rashi, in his commentary Levaker Behecholo, he says the root word of Levaker is Boker. What does Boker mean? Morning. It's one of the first words that shows the beginning of the Torah. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. It was evening, and it was morning. And he says, this is what Donash ben Labrot, who was a very, very early and preeminent commentator on biblical grammar, this is how Donash explained it. Rashi oftentimes refers to Donash. There was another great biblical grammatician who gave much commentary, and he explained words, the Hebrew words of the Torah of the Bible, and his name was Menachem ibn Sarok. So Rashi says Menachem maintained that this idea of levaker is connected between lo yevaker ben tov lera. Lo yevaker means not to look carefully, to meditate on seeing the difference between good and between bad. That's a specific mitzvah in the Torah. It means that when a korban is given, person, whatever is given. You don't lo yevaker ben tov lera, like when it comes to the idea of the tenth animal, if a person has sheep, or he has cattle, or goats, so one-tenth of the animals have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, puts the little baby calves, or sheep, or goats in a corral, and they make a small opening, and the animals start to come out, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you say Asiri, you dab it with some red paint, and that's the one. He's the one. He's going to be brought as an offering in the Beis HaMikdash. And this idea of lo yevaker means, you're not going to look carefully and say, did I choose a good one, not good? Whatever comes at number 10. Lo yevaker. Don't sit and look deeply into it. Maybe in English you could meditate, ruminate, think carefully about something. Now, Rashi says, it's unusual, Aval donash pasa loshem boker. But donash, he emphasizes that it comes from the terminology of morning. What is the pshat here? First of all, they sound very different, these two things. And Rashi starts over Donash. He goes to Menachem, and he goes back and says, but Donash said, it comes from the word boker. So I would like to suggest to you that from a perspective of what this means, Donash and Menachem are not disputing it. And therefore, Rashi quotes them both. And he says that even though lo yevaker would seem to satisfy the meaning of it, Donash still said that lo yevaker, that the idea of Levaker does not mean as it appears in the Torah, the Chumash Vayikra, but instead it means comes from the term boker. So what does it mean? Levaker be'echolei, I think, means that David HaMelech is he wants to shift him, so he's sitting there. Okay. Then he says, Lachzim b'nayim Hashem, which means he wants to bask in the pleasantness of Hashem. He wants to behold. Lachzis literally means to look. A chazit in Hebrew means the front. It means like what's visible, the area that's visible. Chizayon is a vision. Lachzot b'noam Hashem means to behold, to be able to see the big picture, the pleasantness of Hashem. So David HaMelech wants to be in the Beis HaMikdash, Shifti. He wants to be able to see the big picture, and then on top of all this, Levaker Be'Hicholo. So what does that mean? So if we say it means B'chol Boker V'Boker, then that means A, something which is continuous, it's ongoing, it's regular. B, it's something that denotes a certain freshness, a certain novelty and newness every morning. Good morning! Good morning is, it's fresh, it's new, starting all over again. So what this means then is that David HaMelech should not just be in the Beis HaMikdash, should not just be beholding the pleasantness of Hashem, but that he should be able to continue to see new layers. He should be able to continue to see the freshness, the dynamism, the novelty, the newness, that it's continuous, yet dynamic at the same time. Which usually, by the way, is a contradiction. If you're having it the same way all the time, then it doesn't feel fresh and new. And perhaps, I'm just suggesting this, that if we talk about this as a calling for Mashiach, like the Ben Ishchai says, that the Achas is Mashiach and Elio, and, you know, the Chassidus says that this is talking about the Yechida of the Neshama, Gilui HaYechida, to reveal the core essence of the Neshama, that is Mashiach. When everybody's Yechida is revealed, Mashiach's going to be here, because everybody has a little tiny Mashiach inside him. It's called Yechida. Everybody has that nuclear essence. When everybody's nuclear essence would be laid bare, what would happen? Then the grand Neshama of Mashiach comes to life. And all of a sudden, that's energized. It's all different words for the same thing. In other words, Mashiach sounds kind of boring. The same thing. No challenges. We have challenges, and from the challenges comes pleasure, comes a sense of accomplishment. It didn't come easy. And the harder it came, and the more I fought for it, and the more I overcame the challenges, usually the better I feel afterwards. Have you heard the expression, Na'ama d'chisufa? It's a Torah expression. It's bread of shame. Bread of shame is you didn't have to earn your keep. It came without any effort. And invariably, getting born with a silver spoon in your mouth could sometimes be a big curse. There are a lot more confused kids and unhappy kids who were born with wealth than the other way around, which makes no sense, but that's how it is. And the Gemara says, Yizaru b'pnei bnei adnim. Watch out for the poor kids. Because mehem teitz yetayra. They are going to accomplish more. Because they have to fight for everything. They have to work for everything. Take a look at the Jewish people, the refugees who came to Canada right after the war. Most of them with nothing in their pocket. And look at the percentage of success rate. Look how well they did. And look at the third and fourth generation of the generation of entitlement. Als kommt mir. I should have it. What do you mean? Why do I have to work for it? And people don't work for things, then I don't appreciate it. They don't feel good about themselves. Spoiling a child is the worst thing you could do for your child. That doesn't mean you have to torture children. It means you have to inspire them to be able to earn things. So when we're talking about Shifti B'Veis Hashem, he sits there all day. He's always seeing the big picture. So what else do you, like, it gets, it's the same old every single day. David HaMelech says, Levake Be'Cholei. Levake Be'Cholei means B'Chol Beker U'Beker. To experience that freshness, that novelty. In other words, even though Lo Yivaker Ben Toiv L'Ra means, as Menachem says, that it means you won't look at the difference. It means to understand, almost to meditate, to ruminate, to analyze more deeply. Which anybody who is intelligent knows that as much as you understand things on a particular day, the more you learn, the deeper you understand things. Anybody who says to me, oh, I studied the Chumash already, I can't read that again. I tell him I read the Chumash already. You missed the whole point. The beauty of Torah is you study it, and you study it, and you study it. And the people that study Chumash every day of their life, and they're still learning new things. And they're still finding fresh vistas. And they're still amazed at what they didn't see before. It's the nature of Torah. So David HaMelech is telling us, Le'yivaker ben tev l'ra. Menachem says, yeah, I get it. He shouldn't take it at face value. He should keep looking. But he says, but Doiner still said, it's boker here. The emphasis is on the freshness, on the novelty, on the newness. It's like, it's constantly a new day. That's a different picture than one might naturally think of. Shifti b'Veis Hashem, yeah, I'll just hang out. I'm just going to chill. I'll, you know, be in a shul, be smedrish, I'll learn a little, I'll daven a little. I don't have any stress, I don't have any problems, I don't have any issues. Life is easy. On the contrary, David HaMelech has tremendous amount of desire to go mechayel el choyel, to go from strength to strength, to find that freshness, to find that novelty, to come to a new vista, a new horizon, uncover a new level of understanding. And that's the emphasis on Boker. It's very interesting. Ibn Ezra also brings both. Ibn Ezra starts off with lo yivaker ben tovira, but Ibn Ezra finishes off, no, v'yesh omrim, levaker means leches b'chol boker o boker, to come every morning. It's interesting, it doesn't say come every evening, it's come every morning. The word that's used is morning. There's like a vart, I don't know where it's from, and I didn't find it in any real source, but that levaker could mean to visit. Why? Because when you visit a place, it's always fantastic. You visit it. I mean, visit a bad place, it's not fantastic, but it's usually fun to be a visitor. It's fun to be a tourist. In Israel, there's this kind of sarcastic joke about the guy who was so wanted to come to Israel, and every time he visited, it was so amazing. And then all of a sudden, he came, and it wasn't fun at all. He said, I don't understand. How did the country change? It's nothing changed. You used to be a tayar. You used to be a tourist. Now you're an ola. Now you're living here. It's it's invariably different. David HaMelech's desire is always to be a visitor. Never to get comfortable or take for granted being in the presence of Hashem. Anytime you have a brand new, fresh experience, there's a certain excitement that comes with it. And then what happens? You know, there's nothing as amazing as newlyweds, except that you can't stay a newlywed forever. Imagine you could. Imagine you could reclaim that freshness. Imagine it could be like a whole new experience all over again. That's what we're talking about. That's the levaker. So I think those who translate it as levaker, as visiting, are not entirely wrong. Grammatically, it's a wrong translation. But principally, if you talk about it from a content perspective, there's an element of truth to it. That comes along with the concept of a biker. But what this, by the way, means, though, we see from the biblical grammar, the word levaker is not mean to visit. Both Rashi and Ibn Ezra are very clear that it comes from the idea of lo yivaker. So, when it means to visit, you don't visit the sick. You interest yourself in the sick. When somebody who is not well feels that others are interested in how they're doing, that makes them feel better. So actually, it's not necessarily only a visit. It's reasonable to say that Biker Cholim could be a phone call. Biker Cholim could be an email. Biker Cholim could be a bouquet of flowers or a box of chocolates. Biker Cholim means to show interest in the plight of another. And say, well, that's not my problem. You're sick. I'm not sick. Just happens to just be a very revealing little detail. And what does Biker Cholim mean? Which is literally translated all the time as visiting, but probably doesn't mean that. Visiting too. Visiting is like almost like a symptom rather than the true organic translation. So we move on now. There's much more to say, but we've got to make some progress here. Move on to Pasuk Hey. Ki yitz b'neini b'sukoi b'yoyim ra'a. Hashem is going to shelter me in his sukkah on a bad day. Yastireini b'seisra holi. He will conceal me in the hidden recesses of his tent. B'tsur yirei m'meini. He'll raise me up onto a great powerful rock. Or being shielded, as if I'm on this tall rock where nobody can get me. All right, so what does this mean? Rashi says, "Batuach ani." David HaMelech says, I'm absolutely certain. She yitzpeneini beveis mikdashai. That Hashem will shield me. He will provide shelter in his beis hamikdash. And Rashi here says that there is a prophetic allusion to something that's going to happen much later in the family of David HaMelech. That later on, as is explained in the Book of Kings, in Melachim Beis, there was a very evil man whose name was Yoash ben Achaziah. And Yoash ben Achaziah was a monarch, and he sought to exterminate the family of David HaMelech. And he almost succeeded. He killed all of the descendants of David, except for one baby who was hidden by his aunt, whose name was Yehosheva. Pardon me, the murderer's name was Ataliah. Rashi doesn't mention his name. But it refers to Yoash ben Achaziah. Yoash ben Achaziah is the little baby who is hidden by Yehosheva, from Atalia, who seeks to kill him. And where does she hide him? For 6 years. Where does Yoash ben Achaziah spend the first 6 years of his life? In the attic of the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the Holy of Holies. The only place nobody thought to look for him. So there was a secret chamber, just a place nobody ever went. It's a very tall building, the Heichal. And on top, there was an empty room, an attic. And that's where he hid. And that's where he was taken care of. So therefore, David HaMelech says, what's b'yayimra, what's my bad day, my day of distress? Yitz b'neini b'suka b'yayimra, Rashi says, we read in Seder Olam, that later on, David HaMelech's family is in very, very great danger. And that great danger of David HaMelech's family, he is shielded by Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. And actually, in Hoshainus, we call the Beis HaMikdash Sukkot David. So the Sukkah and David, there's a correlation over there between the two. Interesting, it doesn't just say B'sukkah, it says B'sukko. Sukkah in his Sukkah, like it like personalizes it, even though it's written with a hey. And some of the Mefarshim say that the message is, when there's a circumstance or situation which protects you, you have to personalize that. It's not that, oh, I happen to be involved in whatever. Something's happening and I'm just the fringe benefit. No, b'sukkah, it's in Hashem's Sukkah. Every situation is created especially for you. Yastadeini b'seisir aholei, he conceals me in the hidden recesses of his tent. And then he raises me up onto a rock, which is, nobody can ever get close to me. Too high. I'm beyond their reach. So the Malbim says that Yitz Beneni is a temporary concealment, temporary camouflage. I'm not seen. Yitz Beneni, I'm shielded, I'm hidden. But then he says, like for example, the word tsofa in Hebrew means to catch sight of, to be a lookout. So Yitz Beneni means to camouflage, to block the tsofa, to not allow me to be seen. And sometimes that's how it is with Shiroshim in Hebrew, that they get switched around. The same word can be used to see, and a very similar word can be used sometimes not to see. Yastireini, he says, means to be totally concealed. And this is, has an ohel, a tent, provides greater shelter than a sukkah. Sukkah is a temporary dwelling. Ohel is more permanent. And David HaMelech starts off with temporary. He says, Yitzpineini b'sukkah b'yom ra'ah, Yastireini, Seisir Aholei, he will conceal me in Seisir Aholei, in the concealment of his tent, and I will be upon this rock. It's a metaphor that nobody will be able to get to me. So this is what it means, I guess, midrashically, and Rashi feels it's important for you to know that. How do we understand it on a literal level? On a literal level, it means the concept of David HaMelech saying will be protected. Even on a bad day, it says Yerushalayim. The Ibn Ezra says, Sukkah refers to Yerushalayim. As it says, Vayhi b'shalayim sukkai, which is actually a pasuk in Tehillim in chapter 76, and refers to Yerushalayim. And David HaMelech says, the idea that Bitzur and B'seisir HaOlei, he says the Ibn Ezra, what David HaMelech is saying, that I am buttressed, I am fortified, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly going to take care of me. In other words, that as long as I have my achas sha'alti, as long as I know what life's about, as long as I know what I'm looking for, I'm absolutely certain that in the end, everything will work out. In the worst of times, Hashem will still continue to protect me and to ensure my safety. Va'ata, now, yorim reishi aloivai. You'll raise my head above my enemies, svivoisei, around me. Ve'ezbacha be'aholoi zivchei sruah. I will bring, literally the word ezbach means to slaughter, literally it's a euphemism, which means to bring an offering in his tent, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. I'll bring zivchei truah, I'll bring offerings of that trumpet forth. Ashira va'azamra la'ashem, I will exult, cry out, and sing to the Almighty. So Rashi says, what is zivchei truah? A zevach is an offering, and truah is a shofar blast, or a trumpet blast. So he says, Zvachim sha'imer aleim shir. There are certain offerings for which the trumpets had to be sounded. There were shofarot and trumpets that were sounded. And that's what David HaMelech is talking about. So David HaMelech is not actually doing battle anymore. So he doesn't ask for the destruction of his enemy, says the Ibn Ezra. But instead what he's asking for, pardon me, the Hadak says at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he asks him to raise, he should be raised above his enemies. And as, when you do battle, either you can put the enemies down, or David HaMelech is raised above. David HaMelech asks at this point to be elevated, to be exalted, to be raised above and beyond, and by being raised above and beyond, so automatically, nobody is going to be able to do him any harm, which this very neatly dovetails into the way the Ibn Ezra describes the beginning of this idea, that this chapter of Tehillim is written after David HaMelech already is no longer going to battle. So the tenor of his prayer changes. He's not asking to be delivered from his enemies, now he's asking for him to be exalted, for him to be lifted higher and put into a place where he's not going to be able to succumb to anybody's attack. There's a fascinating Medrash Tanchuma on this. It says this is also a metaphor that speaks about the Jewish people itself. Ve'ati arim reishi, raise me up from my enemies. Who are my enemies? My enemies, this is the idea of avodas elilim, strange alien worship. And sometimes we have desires to bow our head in submission to powers other than Almighty God. And the Jewish people made this tragic mistake when they built the golden calf. And the enemies of the Jewish people said, ha, after a golden calf? So soon after the Torah is given? That's it. Ein lahem tekuma. There's no way they're going to be able to rise. There's no way they're going to be able to overcome this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, they will. Because the next reading it says goes on, Sher Rechev Eseyez, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the mitzvah of offerings and korbanos. And a korban, as Chassidus explains, is a permutation of the word kiruv, which means closeness. So when a yid is in a situation where he's been distanced from Hashem, all he needs to do is bring a korban. He needs to draw close. He needs to revitalize, reactivate, re-energize that natural bond and connection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to each and every one of us. The Ezbecha Zivchei Trua literally means that David HaMelech will be able to bring special offerings in the Beis HaMikdash to thank Hashem for having been delivered. And the truth is that we find that the idea of war, of victory from war, is also related to the concept of shofar blast. As it says, V'hara'esam b'chatzetzres, you'll blow with the shofar, and then it says, V'neshayetem me'ivechem, you'll be delivered from your enemies. So there is like a little bit of an interesting overlap. There are those who point out that this pasuk that we learned before, Yitzbeneni b'sukkoi, is a euphemism that represents the concept of Sukkot itself. In fact, the Mate Ephraim lists that as one of the reasons that we say L'David Hashem Ayri. The Shara Koil says, if the Mate Ephraim writes that, it must be he saw it in the Medrash somewhere. So the Medrash that we have, that we know about is L'David Hashem Ayri, Ayri is Rosh Hashanah, and the idea of Yishi, my salvation, that's the concept of Yom Kippur. And the Shara Koil says, if the Mate Ephraim writes, Besuki, it's been any Besuki, it's Sukkah, there must be a Medrashic root for that also. So some extend this idea further. And they say that the idea of Zivchei Teruah refers to the offerings of Sukkot. So in other words, that there would be then a euphemism, an allusion, not only to the concept of the Sukkah, but in fact, ultimately, to the celebration of Sukkot as well. So once we've come to this point, we'll conclude with the following idea. And this goes back to something that we learned about earlier, but now it all kind of comes into sharp focus. Last week we learned that the Rebbe explained the idea of L'David Hashem Eri V'Yishi, different levels of tshuva. A person has lack of clarity, that's why he does a sin. L'David Hashem Eri, I get clarity. A person is overwhelmed by his Yetzirah. Yetzirah gets the better of him. Oh, don't worry about it. That's what we say, Eri V'Yishi, Hashem helps me. A person did sins already, he's been brought down. Mois Chai, Hashem gives me the koyach to be able to move on. So the Rebbe identifies now a similar kind of pattern. He says, we start off with Hashem, Eri V'Yishi. Hashem is my help. The next level is Achas Sha'alti, one request. And the third level is Lachzes B'Noyam, to behold the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he suggested that once again, we have three concepts of tshuva that are being played out over here. The first thing in tshuva, as we said last week, is to have clarity. To have a sense of moral clarity about life. How many people really have clarity? How many people look at every situation and they're able to cut straight to the core essence of the issue. They can get past all the obfuscation, all the gray areas, all the questions. They get right to the heart of the matter. This is a great gift. That's the idea of L'David Hashem Eiri. Hashem is my light, which automatically gives me the strength to be able to do what's right. Now, in order to be able to do this constantly, we don't always have light bulb moments. How do you maintain this? So you maintain this by knowing the purpose of life itself, by being able to boil the whole wide range of the common human experience into one core essence, which is Achas Sha'alti Shivti Beveis Havai Kol Yimei Chayai. Imagine if you could live at all times with that basic essence. You know, sometimes people at work, they hang up a sign, some kind of saying that reminds them why they're doing what they're doing, or helps bring them, keep going back to basics. Because otherwise, you start deviating this way, you start deviating that way, you forget why you're here. This is why companies create a mission statement. Because in times when they're not sure, should we do this or shouldn't we do this? So let's go back to our mission statement. Here are our core values. This is our core principles. Does it fit with our core principles, or does it deviate with our core principles? Organizations have this. And in a personal level, what's your mission statement? What are your core values? So that's the idea of Achas Sha'alti, that I should awaken within myself a real desire, a real big mevukash. What should I really seek to be Beveis Hashem? But the problem is, maybe this will remain on cloud nine. I know what I want. I have an ardent desire. And some lofty, distant level, that's really what life's about. But on a daily basis, I'm dealing with a doggy dog world. I have no time for holy stuff. I have no time for lofty perspectives and philosophies. I have to deal with reality at hand. So therefore, we say, Lachzes B'noyim Hashem, that I should be able to see constantly. I should behold the pleasantness of Hashem. I should be able to see the picture, see it clearly in front of me. Not just on a philosophical level. Levakir be'echolei, as we explain, means to feel that sense of wonderment, that sense of freshness, that sense of newness in the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me each and every single day of my life. And that is some of the wisdom and the inspiration that's contained in these few verses of Tehillim.